You're listening to Pastor Mark Lynch's message, The Only Message, part of the free series at Eastbrook Church. We welcome you to join us for our weekend worship services on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8, 9:30, and 11 a.m. For more information and additional resources, please visit eastbrook.org.
Well, good morning, Eastbrook Church. My name is Mark Lynch, honored to be one of the pastors here at Eastbrook. And a couple of things, if you're new here, if it's your first time, we want to say thank you for coming here. We'd love to connect with you. In the lobby afterwards, give you a gift, answer any questions you might have about Eastbrook Church. The other thing for everyone here is in front of you, there is a Connect card in those chair backs. And if there's something going on in your life, something that you want to celebrate, some more information you want to get, please fill those out. Give those to the ushers on your way out. One of the things I love about Eastbrook Church is that it's a praying church. It says there's power in prayer, and our staff and our team loves to pray for you guys. So please let us know what's going on, how we can be praying for you. Can you believe it's 2015 already? We're halfway through another decade. Unreal. And we're excited here at Eastbrook to be starting off the year with a new series entitled, as you can see behind me, Free. Liz, Matt, that team did a great job of getting everything together. It's a study that's on Galatians. And as you read the book of Galatians, the six chapters, there's a theme that kind of breaks through and kind of, you know, defines the book. And the theme is this, that Jesus Christ makes people free. The word free is a powerful word, isn't it? It has led and started wars, movements. It has changed cultural, politics, so much stuff, the desire to be free. Free is a powerful word. This past week was a pretty big week in the life of my wife, Jessica, and I. On Tuesday, we celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary. 20 years. Some of you are looking at me right now and going, how old are you? Two things on that. One, if you look at my Facebook page, literally, you look like, who is that 12-year-old kid that they are letting getting married right there? No, I wasn't 12, and no, it was not my junior prom. Been married 20 years, and my wife, Jessica, I feel like deserves a lifetime achievement award because surrounding me is just craziness, randomness, and random injuries. And so she's been with me for 20 years, and she is just a blessing from God. The other event that happened this week was when I dropped off my daughter, our oldest daughter, Gracie, for her first behind the wheel. When your oldest kid starts to drive, one, you get a little scared. You know, I dropped my daughter off to be behind the wheel of a 2,000-pound vehicle, and I'm going to be on the road as well. And, you know, we dropped her off, but I kind of began to reminisce about what it was like when I began to drive. Can you reminisce with me what it was like when you began to drive and what it meant for you? I think back to the time and hours I spent trying to get rides from my friends. Christina, David, Joey, Richie, all those people. I spent hours without cell phones, Snapchat, Facebook, whatever it is, trying to get rides. And for me, it meant that I could be free. If I wanted to do something, I could go. I didn't have to wait for my dad to come home from work, if he was even in town, or my stepmom to drive me anywhere. If I wanted to hang out with my friends, guess what I did? I got in my car and I drove. And for me, that feeling was, I felt like I was really free. Free is a powerful word. We want freedom, don't we? We desire it, we cherish it, we strive for it. And yet so often, we don't understand, remember, embrace what it is that truly makes us free. Before I get into the text in Galatians, let me pray for us. Father God, we're going into your word. We're going into your scripture here today. And God, we ask that you would be at the forefront of this, that you'd be the one that is speaking, you'd be the one that is opening hearts, showing us just how amazing you are and what it means to live for you. We thank you for your word. It's your name we pray. Amen. Let's look at the first five verses in Galatians. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It's about here in your Bible or on your phone or tablet, whatever it is you have there. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia, Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So I look at the historical context as we start off this series, Free. The first thing is this. We see the writer. There's not much dispute. It is Paul, the first word, Paul. He was an apostle. He was preaching. He was teaching. He was traveling around the area. He was threatened. He was thrown in prison. He was planting churches. He was building up leaders for those churches. But what I love about who he said he was is that he puts another qualifier on that. He says, I am Paul, an apostle, sent by Jesus. I'm Paul, an apostle, and I'm sent by God the Father. So what he's saying here is that the message he's about to give, it isn't just from him. The message that he's about to deliver is holy, is divine. It's from Jesus. It's from God. And the same power that resurrected Jesus from the grave was the power he was going to deliver through the words here in this scripture. I love the qualifiers that he says. This is who I am. I am sent by Jesus. I am sent by God the Father. I also love that he says, you know what? I'm also sent by a community, by my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. That's men and women in the churches. They're making it possible for Paul to go. Men and women in the churches were making it possible for Paul to write. He's saying, I'm coming here, I'm writing this because I'm being sent by my friends, by my church. He says, I am not alone. I have God, I have Jesus, and I have my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Galatians is a message to a body of believers from a body of believers, and from God himself. The second thing we see is the audience. Churches in Galatia. And there is some disagreement over which churches this was, because there was a southern Galatia and a northern Galatia. Galatia is what is in now modern Turkey. And Paul, on his first missionary journey with Barnabas, went throughout southern Galatia planting churches. Over four churches, and on the second missionary journey, they went back with Silas, and he began to develop leaders for those. It wasn't until 8 years later, in the third missionary journey, that he went to the northern part of Galatia. So people kind of argue, hey, when you say Galatian churches, which churches were they? Were they the south? Were they the north? Because it would actually determine when the book was written. Most likely south, but I don't really think it matters to us. The point is this. Paul was writing to a number of churches. This message wasn't just to one person, one group, whatever it was. Paul was writing to a group of churches, churches where he had worked, churches where he had served, churches that he had planted and developed leaders. Paul had a vested interest in the well-being, future, spiritual health of these churches, his audience. It's also vital for us to understand as we go into this series that God's word is powerful. God's word is alive. It had an impact then, and has an impact today. Just like it did when Jesus spoke those words 2,000 years ago. Jesus gave himself. He did so to rescue us from our sins, from the evil in this world, it says, because that was the will of God the Father. And so when Jesus spoke the words of God the Father, it began a movement. A movement that rejection, torture, persecution, a cross, couldn't stop from building. A movement that began to reach throughout the world. A movement that is defined by God's word that came through his son, Jesus. Paul understands the power of God's word because Paul was changed by God's word. Another man, as he read Galatians, felt the word of God come alive. He was an Augustinian monk in the Catholic Church. He began to write a commentary on this very book, Galatians. And he became enthralled by the overriding theme of being free, of freedom from Jesus Christ and only coming from grace. And 498 years ago, Martin Luther penned onto the wall those 95 theses in Wittenberg, and he started the Protestant Reformation. The word in Galatians came alive to Martin Luther, so much so that he called it his Catherine. his bride. He was wed to this passage. And it came alive, and the church was changed. Eastbrook Church is different because of what happened 500 years ago. The Word of God came alive. And today, Eastbrook Church, God's Word, it is alive. It is living. It is powerful. Martin Luther, as he read what Paul was writing, he understood what he was saying, that the only message that brings freedom, the only message that makes people free is from Jesus. The only message that makes people free is from Jesus. In the next five verses, we see the reason why Paul was writing this letter. He gives a reason and kind of a context for what is going on. Verse 6 through 10. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have said already, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I love those words. The first words he says in his letter after his introduction, Paul's introduction, grace and peace to you, he says, I am astonished. Now, you can be astonished in good ways, can't you? Haven't you seen someone do something and been like, wow, I'm astonished. That's pretty astonishing. This past week, people throughout Wisconsin were astonished. They look and they saw their star quarterback laying down in a heap on the ground. And here's what they thought. No, no, no. They watched him on that little John Deere tractor drive through the tunnel, and then the camera panned to Matt Flynn. What is going on? And then the second half came, and Matt Flynn's still out there, and then he came through the tunnel. And they were like, yes, this is it. And the whole nation watched as Aaron Rodgers led the team to victory. They were astonished that he was playing on one leg and playing to that ability. And he was still better than Matt Flynn. And all of a sudden, like, hope and everything is that Aaron Rodgers won the MVP probably because of that. People were astonished. When Paul says, I am astonished, it isn't that type of astonished. It isn't, this is a great astonishment. I'm amazed and I'm happy. He's going, I am astonished. What's going on here, people? He's astonished because people, not a person, not one life group, not one church, churches in Galatia are deserting Jesus. Jesus who gave his life. Jesus who died for their sins. Jesus who came to rescue, to save, so that people, churches, could be free. Paul's astonished that people are deserting the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of grace. They stopped embracing that Jesus was all they need. Jesus wasn't enough for them anymore. And Paul is astonished because churches are deserting the only message that makes people free. They've deserted the grace of Jesus and embraced a different gospel. This was their gospel of the Galatians in this passage that they have embraced. That the message of salvation, status, belonging to God's kingdom and community is based upon what they did. Is based on their traditions, their rules, and their laws. They had been saved by the grace of Jesus. They traded all that in for them. And Paul is shocked because these people, most of them, were converts from pagan religions that had been under law, fear, all that stuff, and had been brought out and made free by Jesus. And so quickly, they deserted the freedom to try and do it by themselves. So quickly, they said, Jesus, you're not enough. I need to do this. Going to the cross and rising from the grave, it's not enough. I need more. And all of a sudden, the message of Jesus, the gospel, the only message that makes people free, is traded for a different gospel. And they do it so quickly. And the gospel isn't even a gospel. Paul says the gospel is good news. This is not good news, people. This is bad news. Bad, bad, bad news. This is a lie. Paul's astonished, and he sees that there's confusion that is present in the communities and people. People, leaders, are distorting the message of Jesus for selfish reasons, for power, for control, or maybe because they're just comfortable having it a certain way, that this freedom is just too much for them to understand. But they're minimizing the freedom that exists when you embrace and live in the grace of Jesus. And that right there is why Paul is writing this message. He is astonished in a not-so-good way that people are living the way they're living. He's looking at communities of believers living a life that is less than what Jesus offers. He's looking at a lifestyle of people that should be defined by freedom, brought forth by grace, making an impact where lives are being changed, and a movement defined by God's word. And what he sees is not that. Not that at all. He sees a lifestyle defined by rules, people. Jesus wasn't enough. And when the Galatian people deserted the gospel of Jesus, it changed everything. The focus turned from Jesus to themselves. Their passion for saving the lost became a passion for saving themselves day after day after day. And they gave away the freedom that Jesus offered. They became about me, 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 rather than, like we sang in that song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And Paul is like, no, 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 no. Don't you understand this isn't good news? Don't you understand that there's no message like the message of Jesus? Eastbrook, there's no message like the message of Jesus. And Paul gives a definition, context, and a further explanation of what that power is as he continues in the story, verses 11 through 24. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intentionally I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas, it's Peter, and stayed with him for 15 days. I turned one page too many, sorry. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that that is what I am writing to you is no lie. Then I went to Syria. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. And this is a one-sentence summary right here about Paul's life. One sentence of what the power of God's word did in his life. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me. We see the origin of this message that Paul is about to deliver to the people in the churches in Galatia. It's not from human beings. It's not from Paul's immense intelligence or brain power. The message has been revealed to him by God. It was given. It must be given. God's word is a gift. When sin came rushing into the world, while powers of the evil age and today have different plans, God offers authors a different message. And he says, I'm going to give it to people. I'm going to give my son. I will give so that he just have to receive. The origin of this message that Paul is going to give, the origin of the only message that brings freedom is God himself. And that message changes lives. Paul uses his own life as an example. He says, you know who I was. You know, I was that guy. I was that guy. I was a zealot. Before all of my buddies, before all the people that were my age, I was the man climbing the ladder. I was the man bringing the pain. I was known. There was no one like me. He was a rising star who persecuted the church, desired to see people who believed in Jesus tortured and destroyed. But his life was changed when God came rushing into his life through Jesus. Paul's life was changed. He says, it's no lie. In verse 20, he says, it is no lie. This is who I am. This is what happened. I'm going to stake my well-being to it. This is the truth. And I love that Paul's life was changed. But in this passage, there's many more lives that are changed because of Paul's story. Not just through his missionary work and planting churches, which was great, but lives were changed as the word spread about what happened to Paul. The man who brought fear to the church was now giving everything for the church. The man who was knocking on doors to drag people out to get beaten was now knocking on doors so that he could give them salvation through Jesus Christ. The man who sought to take away freedom to be a follower of Jesus was willing to die for that freedom. And lives were changed when they said, Paul has been changed. Have you ever heard the story of someone whose life was so changed that you were changed? Here's the truth. If you believe in Jesus, your life has already been changed that drastically. You're already that different. And your life, your story has the power to change lives all around you when they see, I was once a sinner, but now I am in Jesus Christ. I am different. See, Paul's life was changed. And the people there, as they heard the story, their lives were changed. And I love their response. What did they do? They gave praise to God. They go, let's sing a song. Let's sing a song. Let's break out the band again. Let's do this. This is amazing stuff here. This could only be God doing this. This is so radical. And God assured them that he was still alive, that they were not alone, that there was still hope. Because God's word is truth. God's word is powerful. It is alive, and it still brings freedom. It still makes people free. Paul's life was changed in an amazing way, and actually brought a new purpose. Backtrack to verse 10. Paul writes, this is a big verse for setting up the entire book because it's about how we live. He says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I would not be a servant of... He says, why are you living this way? He's looking at the churches in Galatians, the Galatian churches, the people, and you know, purpose is so vital to everyday life. And their purpose has changed. And Paul is like, why are you living this way? Why have you settled for a life that is less than what Jesus has offered you? When Paul wakes up every morning, this is what he thinks. How can I please Jesus? How can I serve Jesus? Every encounter is an opportunity for him to bring praise and glory and to please his Savior. Does your faith, does your belief, does your trust in Jesus give you this type of purpose? Does it change the way you live? Does it change the way you talk to people? Does it change the way you work? Does it change the way you study? Does it change the way you talk? Does it do that? How quickly we change the purpose that Jesus gives for a different purpose and a different message. When our hopes are pinned on getting a raise or a promotion. When our dreams are based on having relationships a certain way. When our health is determined by our bank account, our house, our car, our neighborhood. And how quickly we too trade the only message that brings freedom for a different message, a message of the world. And we become just like the Galatians. We settle for living a life that is less than what Jesus offers, less than what Jesus has and desires for us. Yesterday afternoon, as our daughter Abby was swimming in a swim meet, I began to wonder, what if Paul wrote a letter to Eastbrook Church today? Well, if he said his intro, and he said, I am astonished. Why would he be astonished? Would he be astonished in a good way? Or would he say, why are you guys settling for living a life that is less? And then I think, how can we be a community, brothers and sisters in Christ, that says, we will not trade the gospel, the message of Jesus, for anything else? How can we say, we will not let that be our story? We're going to hold tight to Jesus. We're going to say that Jesus is enough. Jesus is more than enough. We don't have to do anything else because on the cross, he did everything. How do we do that as a community? Three really quick things. The first thing, and this is really practical, is this. Connect with other people. We have this cool brochure out there in the lobby. It's called Connect and Grow. And it tells you everything that's going on in Eastbrook Church. And this is not just an advertisement, okay? you need community. Paul, the greatest theologian in the world's history that wasn't named Jesus, needed community. I need community. You need community. You need each other. And what a gift it is as you look around this room, how many people God has placed in this room. We need people. So connect, grow, serve, get plugged in. You do not have to do life by yourself. That was never God's plan. And doesn't have to be the plan. We need to stay bolted to that message in community together. The second thing is this. We need to remind ourselves of the message of Jesus. That God loves us so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to enter the world to bring freedom to the world that was dying for it. Instead of leaving humanity handcuffed by their own sins, by our own ill ideas and beings, he brought a new message of rescue, of freedom for all people. And what we'll be doing today is a way to remember that through celebrating communion. We'll be going to the table. When you wake up in the morning, what if you just remind yourselves, man, I am loved by Jesus. Jesus went to the cross. Jesus rose. Just reminding yourselves of the power that is that, of the love that is that, it helps us to stop running away from that message. Helps us to stop accepting a message that is different, that is less than the message of freedom that Jesus gives. The third and last thing is this. Be in God's word. How do you stay attached to the word and the message? Immerse yourself in it. Go to it. It's not just a story. It's not just this print on a page. It is a story of God's work, of God's life through his son Jesus, and there is power in this. So men and women, one of our charges throughout the series is this. Would you be in Galatians with us? Not just today, but tomorrow. Because 6 weeks is not enough for this book. It's not. It's not enough for this, the impact this has. But would you be in the story with us? And listen, if you do not have a Bible, I'm going to take that excuse off the table today. On your way out, grab a Bible. The ushers will have them at both doors. Take a Bible on us. It is worth it. It is worth it to be in God's word. The truth is, God's word is alive. God's word changes lives. It impacts the world. And we have that ability to do that. Galatians is a letter written to a people who forgot what it means to be free. It's a letter written to people on how to become free yet again. It's a letter that is alive, relevant, and needed for us today. The word free is a powerful word, isn't it? The only message that brings freedom comes from God, the Father, through his son, Jesus. To him be the praise and glory. May we seek to please him. May we seek to live for him. May we seek to always be attached to that message, the only one that is the gospel, the good news, that God loves, that God saves. May we seek to please him, live for him, honor him, and thank him for all that he has done for us. Our God is good. There is no message like the message of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you. We do thank you for everything that you've done, for everything that you are holy, you are marvelous, you are amazing, more than our words could ever describe. And your love for us is deeper and greater than we could ever deserve or earn. God, may we be people that stops trying to earn it and just accepts it. Embrace this fact that your son Jesus is enough, that your son is all that we need, that your son saved us. We thank you for that. Help us to remember that. Help us to remind ourselves of that. Help us to remind our people here in our church, in our city of that. And help us to dive into your word, your story, the story of rescue and of love. We thank you so much. It's in your name we pray. Amen. We're going to a time of communion. And at Eastbrook Church, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you put your faith in him, this table is for you. No matter what your background is, no matter how you have sinned, if your life has been given to him, this table is for you. If you haven't done that yet, we ask you to actually let the elements pass by. Know this, you will not be judged here. You will be loved because God loves you. We believe that here at Eastbrook Church. And if you haven't placed your hands and your lives in Jesus' hands, let me ask you this. Why not? Why not? I can tell you this. that Jesus saves, that Jesus is the only one that makes people free. You had that chance. Just talk to him. Just say, I'm giving you my life, Jesus. I don't know what that means, but change me. Make me more like you. Help me to live for you. You had the chance to do that today.